Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. What does it mean to truly be strong? Now, there's different kinds of strength. There's physical strength, which is being able to lift heavy objects. There's strength of character. We talk about strength of character. There's a person who has a certain strong personality. And then there are the more internal traits. I guess personality would be one of them. Of being a person of strength. What does it mean to be a strong person, especially when we're talking about it from an internal source? How does one show their strength when they truly have a sense of strength from the inside? How does one develop internal strength? Now, many a time, there can be positive ways of developing strength, and I'd say negative ways of developing strength. As we know, people who are powerful, and we say when people abuse their power, well, that is an example of a use of strength that is coming from the negative side of things. If they have a certain strength, but they have to almost use that or gain that strength through hurting other people. On the other hand, how does one gain strength from the positive side of things? I feel like there's so many aspects of life similar to what I'm talking about here, where there always are two different directions you can take something in. A person can make choices to become strong in a positive sense and a positive side of things, and a person can make choices and gain strength from the negative route, the negative side. At the end of the day, I think there is an importance of having a sense of internal strength, but I think there's a very big difference when a person has a internal strength that is truly earned in an admirable, valuable fashion, as opposed to one who has an internal strength that, as much as they may in certain ways feel strong, it's counterfeit. It's not real. And unfortunately, I think it's the kind of thing that to keep it up, they have to keep on going down the route of negative ways. For example, putting other people down to feel stronger and better about themselves. And that is a perpetual cycle that keeps on going through that's necessary in order to keep that image, that feeling of having that strength. Ultimately, what we all want to develop inside is a true sense of internal strength, a sense of self. I think when we have a sense of internal strength, we feel good about ourselves. We feel at peace with ourselves. So how can we develop true inner strength? The kind that is genuine and long-lasting, that doesn't require my need to put another down in order to feel better and stronger within myself. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, I saw a quote by Booker T. Washington, and it really gave me so many thoughts about certain things we've been talking about, but really an understanding about choices in life. And it said, there are two ways of exerting one's strength. One is pushing down, the other is pulling up. And I was really thinking about this because I think it's so true that when do we need to feel strong? I think when we feel weak inside, oftentimes we need to sort of do something to feel a certain strength. And the pushing down side, I mean, it starts as childhood. We talk about kids who bully other kids. Oftentimes it's because they don't feel good about themselves inside, so they put other people down in order to sort of feel stronger about themselves, but it's at the expense of other people. And unfortunately, if that's not contained, child bullies can become adult bullies. There's plenty of adults that have a tendency to put others down to feel better about themselves. But I was also seeing what I thought was so wise about this quote is understanding that people do this. But the other side of it is there are two ways of exerting one's strength. One is pushing down. The other is pulling up. And so much of what we've spoken about on this show is about the importance and the power of doing good. When we do good for others, when we help others, when we think about others outside of ourselves, the more good that we do, the more we are pulled up by those actions, the more we actually feel better about ourselves. So it really got me to thinking about the idea that there's so many times where there's sort of like this choice we have to make. I may not feel so strong inside, or if I want to, I can be in a good place, but if I want to strengthen myself, I have a choice, and there's two ways to go about it. The negative side of this is I can push other people down so I can be stronger. The positive choice inside of this is I can be pulled up by pulling other people up, by doing good for others. I will be strengthened in that. The thing I'm always trying to understand is there's so often that we choose the wrong path. There's so many people that in trying to feel better about themselves, they do have this tendency to put others down. And anyone who has someone like this in their life, whether it be a parent who put you down as a child, or you're in a relationship with someone who does that, or you work with someone who does, we see how detrimental it is. So how do we understand the fact that there are these two choices to make, so to speak, of how to strengthen ourselves? Why is it so often that people choose this side of the needing to push down in order to feel strong about themselves?
Well, you know, we all want to get to results, and we've talked about this before. We want to feel good about ourselves. And now the question is, are we going to find a genuine way to feel good about ourselves, or are we going to find some bogus way that delivers quick results but not long-lasting results? So to put somebody down is very easy. It doesn't take much. It's very quick, and it seems to get results. I feel strong because I've showed how others are weak. I feel big because I've been able to show how others are small. But it's a little more complicated and takes more investment to become big, because I am somebody that helps other people become big. And to become strong, because I'm a giver. And that is my greatest potential. What's unique about a human being is that we can give, we can share. And so that takes greater strength, because when I take from others, then it seems like I'm becoming more. And when I give to others, it seems like I'm becoming less. But it's just the opposite. If I can give to others, that means I've got so much to me that I have nothing to lose, only to gain by sharing it with others.
So when I'm able to give to others, that means I already have a certain strength inside that enables me to feel like I'm not losing out by giving to someone else.
That's right. I mean, we're being more godly. I mean, God doesn't need anything. So God is described in Jewish tradition as a giver, as the sort of chesed, the source of kindness. And so we become more godly when we emulate the attribute of being kind and being giving. And so, you know, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov has a beautiful teaching. He says, "What is truly the yardstick of giving? It's not how much you gave, it's how much you have left over after you gave. So if you have a millionaire and he gives $100,000, it's really great, but he's a multimillionaire, right? You have another person who, you know, had $1,000, and they gave 200 of that. Wow, you know, so when a person is truly great and truly strong and truly full, then it's demonstrated by giving to other people.
So does one have to already be in a place of strength in order to become stronger from giving? Because we're saying that to some degree you have to almost be strong within yourself, an internal sort of strength, in order to be able to give to others. Or can one, especially if someone already is weak, when there's that tendency to then have to put other people down, but it only gives a short-term feeling good about yourself, the act of giving itself, that can strengthen us too, right?
Yeah, it's called make it, fake it until you awake it. Within us is godliness. Judaism teaches that the soul is, so to speak, a part of God, not like a slice of pizza, but like a facet of divinity. But there's something divine about our souls, our inner true self. And so there is that greatness within us. And so if we're not feeling it, it's not that it's not there, but it's covered up with a bunch of garbage. So by choosing to behave in a way that is sharing, that will enable us to access that feeling of greatness within us. And that will further influence us to do even more pulling people up rather than putting people down.
But to some extent, you were saying earlier, which I think is a very important point to recognize, is that with the giving beyond ourselves, the pulling up, there oftentimes isn't necessarily the same level of instant gratification. It's more of a long-term picture and goal, as there is with sometimes that putting down of feeling better about ourselves, which is, I guess, what would be the attraction and the pull towards that tendency towards put other people down to feel better about ourselves. So we really have to have someone to really has to have a recognition of a longer, bigger picture, that it doesn't mean there's going to be immediate results with feeling stronger within myself, but it's about a longer incremental growth process.
Well, you know, it's easy to destroy. It's hard to build. That's just the way it is. It's easy to put on weight. It's hard to lose it. When you really want to do something constructive and something that really, really means something, it requires effort and investment and patience.
That is for sure true. And I think if anything, it's so important that we recognize that there are so many aspects of the environment that we live in that really make that vision challenging to really become crystal clear, because so much of what's around us is about instant gratification. And we're so used to instant gratification within our lives that when it comes to building ourselves, I think that's the tendency we might have more naturally, just to go to what feels good right now, as opposed to what's going to take more work and effort, but is going to lead to ultimate more longer term happiness and satisfaction.
Right. You see, essentially, you know, I heard a beautiful teaching from Rabbi Abram Tversky. He said, basically, people think that we give to the people we love, but we love to the people we give. And that's, I think, a very beautiful way of putting it. You know, we love our children because we give so much to our children. And in a kind of funny way, it's selfish, because by giving to my children, I become more, because they become a part of me. When you invest in somebody else, then you go beyond your limited borders, you become more expanded, and they become included within your identity. When you take from other people, you become small. But when you give to other people, then you are investing in someone that's beyond yourself, which means you're literally expanding your borders. You're becoming a greater person. That's why it's interesting that generosity is referred to a person who is very large. They're very large. What do you mean that you want to mean large? Even in Hebrew, we refer to the attribute of kindness as gadol. People that are large means they're inclusive. They are not limited by their immediate identity, but those around them are a part of them, and they become greater than they were by giving to others. And so the key to really expanding ourselves in a funny way, being selfless, is a very selfish thing to do. But it's a good selfish, because by giving to others, I become more. By taking from others, I become less.
So then ultimately, the more I give to others, the more I actually can the more I find myself. Instead of losing myself or feeling like there's less of me, I actually grow.
I get beyond my little self, because there's a little bit more of me and this person and this person and this person. So I get beyond my limited borders and become more an expansive personality. I become greater.
Recognizing this is so absolutely important, because we all want to have a greater sense of self, a greater sense of strength within ourselves. And I think there's so many times that when we do choose this route of pushing down and putting others down to feel more of a sense of self, even though it's so short-lived, it's coming from this human natural desire to want to be stronger and more. But if we really have to understand and recognize what you're sharing with us here, because otherwise the tendency is to go with these short-term fixes as opposed to really recognizing if this is what I really want, I really should take the steps to do it in the right way, in the way that will be longer lasting and that will really build me. Because in the end, the more I put other people down in the long term, short term, I may feel better about myself. Long term, I'm diminished. And the more I give to others, the irony is sometimes short term, it could feel like I've lost something of myself, whether it be time. I have less time because I'm giving to others, or less focus on myself because I have to think about somebody else. But long term, I actually gain a whole lot more of myself the more I do think of others. So it really, in both directions, it actually, we have to recognize there's almost like a paradoxical direction that takes place. Short term, I may feel like I've lost something, but I gain so much tremendously in who I am when I give to others. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Welcome back to Soul Talk. Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, talking about the idea there are two ways of exerting one's strength. One is pushing down, the other is pulling up. And before the break, Rabbi shared the tremendous insight that when we push down, in the short term, we feel stronger, but in the long term, we are very diminished. On the other hand, when we pull other people up, when we do good, the more we can include other people, the more we can give of ourselves to others, sometimes in the short term we may not feel as strong, but in the long term we are building ourselves up and strengthening ourselves. And so we really gave us at least to me also a tremendous insight into understanding how to gain true inner strength. The question I want to ask you now is, when you have a person in your life that goes on the first version, putting others down, whether it be a spouse or a parent or a coworker or a family member, whoever it is, unfortunately there seem to be so many people out there that seem to have are short-sighted, I guess we'd have to say. They need to put other people down in order to feel better about themselves. So we can't change someone else. What can we do though to respond, to try to help, or at least to deal with the people in our lives that do seem to have this need to put others down so that they can feel, even if it's that instant gratification of a little bit of extra strength?
Well, the first thing is to try and rather be angry, be empathetic that sadly these people are trapped in a behavior that is undermining what they truly, truly want to gain, and they don't have the clarity or they don't have the discipline to change their ways. And so the first thing is to not be angry at them, but compassionately feel sad for them. Now the question is, are you the right person to point this out to them? Because in Judaism, the laws of rebuke are very clear. A person really has to be so careful whether whoever they're rebuking is actually capable of hearing that rebuke and hearing that rebuke from them, and that they're giving the rebuke in a way that is loving and sensitive, and in a way that they themselves who's giving the rebuke is not enjoying this. Because if you're enjoying this, then you're probably not the right person to be doing it, because it's really about what's in their best interest, and giving them the rebuke is, again, you're just being one of the put down people rather than the pull up people. But sometimes people are receptive and are not even aware of this negative habit that they have by being very critical and very negative. And aren't aware that they're using that to kind of boost their own sense of self, when in the long term it's really not going to deliver the goods.
So I've had some experience in the past trying to bring this to someone's attention, and it almost made sense what happened, is they actually became very defensive and said, I'm the one who has the problem. And I realized it makes sense. If someone is putting other people down because they actually feel really weak inside, well, then most likely they're not going to be receptive towards anything that feels like it's some level of criticism. It's just going to keep on going back as everyone else is the problem. You're too sensitive. You know, it's your problem. But at the same time, someone who has this tendency, especially if they're not necessarily going to receive rebuke, it can be very challenging when this is a person who can be a part of your life, how not to have it take those around them down. So for all those who are living with this, how do we not take take this negativity, take these put downs, not take it to heart, not let it affect us, not let it change the whole atmosphere of a family mood?
Right. Well, the secret is, how do you share insights with somebody so that they can step back and appreciate that there could be another way? And I think sometimes it's the best way to do is share your needs, which is you speak to the person and says, listen, I'm just sharing my needs. I'm the kind of person that responds better when people, give me their thoughts in a way that allows me to the freedom of adopting it. And so, you know, I'm asking if you can consider just a different way to relate to me, or you know, but by saying to somebody they're wrong, very few people have the ability to hear that. If you just say, listen, what works for me is this, and you're probably not intending to do this, but I kind of feel sometimes the way you speak, for me, it feels like a put down. You put it all on yourself, you know, and what would work for me if you were to use words more like, but I think that would be, the way to go.
Well, because the main thing is putting someone who's already in a sensitive place that doesn't have a real true sense of inner strength on the defense is a recipe for failure. They're not going to hear what we have to say. So your thought of sort of presenting it from, for me, this is what works. It doesn't create any sense of defensiveness from the other person. At the same time, it's still the question is there any way to help a person like this recognize, like what we shared in the first part of the show, of, you know, this is coming, I mean, obviously this is where therapy comes in, but if you're not their therapist, to help them realize you have to put me down so you can feel better, but there's other ways to do this that don't have to put anyone else down, and you can then still feel actually a longer term, deeper, more satisfactory, better about yourself.
You know what? The question again is, are they capable of hearing it, and are you the right person to say it? Is it the right timing? Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe you just can't help them, and you'd be best off doing the best as you can to avoid allowing them to treat you that way.
So meaning as much as we can, as we're saying, and it's so true, there's only so much you can necessarily have an effect on someone else's changes. You can, first step is try. Saying as much as you can to do it in a way that will hopefully lead to less defensiveness and possibly hearing. But after that point, then there is that point of, we don't need to try to put ourselves in situations, or we try to minimize situations where we are with someone else who has a need to put us down.
Right. You know, so we're talking about, we don't want to mirror their behavior. And so we certainly don't want to put them down. But what if we're not in the position to pull them up? I think in that situation, we have to pull ourselves out of the relationship as much as possible, because this is not working. We're certainly not helping them by allowing them to treat us this way. And we're certainly not really being honorable and respectful of ourselves to allow ourselves to be treated that way. And yet we're not the right person, and they're not in the right mindset to hear what we have to say. Say it, and for us to say it and for them to hear it. So sometimes you have to have a nice cordial relationship, but do your best you can to, you know, keep it light and avoid as much as possible conflict with such personalities.
I was thinking so many times it would be nice. And to some degree, I think we can have this more, this choice more in maybe friends, not saying everyone chooses their friends as wisely as they should, as far as what are the kinds of people we want in our life, the kinds of people that we want around us that have an effect on us, that create a certain mood around us. And in these situations, if someone is putting us down or putting a drag on the mood, then distancing ourselves as much as possible is so important. But I'm thinking for situations where sometimes it can be harder to pull ourselves out, then understanding what you were explaining in the first part of the show, even at least just having that understanding, I think is so important for them being able to have what you said earlier on as trying to be empathic, of recognizing this is a person who is really small inside, as big as they may seem, and whatever positions of power they might even have, really ultimately they're a small person, and I can be a stronger person by recognizing this and not, and doing what I can to not be brought down by being with them no matter what they say. Then it gives me almost an opportunity within myself to see my own strength and recognize that it's not necessarily coming from what someone tells me outside of myself, but it gives me an opportunity that recognizing I really need to be strong inside to be able to withstand this negativity and this put down without having it have a long-term negative effect on me.
Right. Well, as they say, if it doesn't kill you, then it's an opportunity for you to become stronger. And so if you're in a difficult situation with somebody and you say to yourself, this is an opportunity for me to be stronger. So either stronger in that I will assert myself and share with them how I feel, or stronger in that I will have the courage to remove myself from the situation as much as possible, because they're just not, and we're not the right, you know, we're not in the right dynamic. But always when we say to ourselves, the first thing is, there must be an opportunity here. You know, what is that opportunity?
And that word opportunity is so unbelievably powerful, because I feel like there's so many times situations like this, having a person who is just a negative person to be around, or you know when you see them, they're going to have a put down for you, or they're just going to say something that's going to ruin the mood. If anything, I don't think we see these situations as opportunities. We see them as something we want to run away from. But I think that's exactly the point, is if we can't necessarily change the person, or once we've tried and maybe have established that we can't really change the situation, then what we have to do is change our mindset instead of seeing the situation as something to run away from. If I can't actually minimize the contact or take myself out, then just the mindset of changing this perspective of, well, this is now an opportunity for me to become stronger within myself and based on how I'm going to react to this person. That already is, again, an opportunity instead of something that can totally take us down.
Right. And be careful not to mirror their behavior, like give it back to them. But I don't need to give it back to them, because I see that this is coming from a place of weakness and insecurity in themselves. And they're not bad people. They're just sad people.
And really recognizing that, I think, again, it's all in our mindset. So many times when we're in difficult situations, the way we think about the situation has a really big effect on how we can handle it. So, again, recognizing that this situation is giving me a potential opportunity to exert my own strength, or recognizing that this is a sad person, can totally have an effect on how I then respond to the person. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Liora Mandel.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Soul Talk, the Yoram Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, talking about the idea there are two ways of exerting one's strength. One is pushing down, the other is pulling up. And I was thinking about this idea, Ezehu Gibor, who is the strong one, HaKovesh et Yitzro, that overcomes his Yetzer, which we've talked about in the past, is like this energy towards, we were thinking about it usually, and the thing that pulls me away from being the better part of who I can be, I guess is the way I translate it right now. But I was thinking there's so much new understanding, I think to some degree, in everything we're talking about and understanding this line of Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh et Yitzro, because here we're talking about exerting one's strength. So who is truly strong? Not someone who puts other people down, it's someone who pulls people up. But it's also the one who's able to conquer the Yetzer is what pulls us away from the higher me. Right? Sometimes, but that's something that's inside of me. So here we're talking about there's people sometimes outside of us that have a need to put us down in order to feel better about themselves. But we also have to recognize that so many times we're worried about the people outside of ourselves, but we too have within us this Yetzer that sometimes also can have this tendency to pull us down. But who is strong? Where is our true strength? When we can push away that part of me that's inside of me that wants to push me down, and I can have a sense of rulership over it by not letting it do that.
Right. Yes. The secret to self-worth is discipline. The more I can be disciplined in my behavior and I'm not falling into reactive mode, but being responsible, able to respond maturely to the struggles that I'm having within me, the challenges that I'm facing from outside of me, that is truly an act of great strength, an indication of true strength. Very often people see strength as, you know, lashing out, pounding away. You know, in our tradition, it's interesting. We have something called a gartel. In our tradition, one is not allowed to pray unless they have a belt. And in our prayer, we talk about Ozer Yisrael Bigvura, you Hashem, who have girded Israel with power, with strength. So why is the belt a symbol of strength? You know, even in English, we talk about belting you. He belted me. Or in judo, you've got a black belt. Or you have the sheriff and he says, hand me my belt, you know, with his gun. And so, but in our tradition, the belt is a sign of strength because we wear a belt to distinguish between our lower half and our higher half. Our higher half is our heart and our mind. Our lower half is our reflexes. In fact, our lower half is called reglayim, which means legs, but the word regel or is connected to the word hergel, which is habits. Even in English, we call it regulation. Right? If someone has certain regulations, they're regulated rather than, so they're kind of like automatic. So in Jewish tradition, we need to be able to take the higher part of ourself and turn it into the power that rules over the lower part of ourself. And so that's why we're supposed to have a belt, so to speak, when we pray, to remind ourselves, you know, this distinction that there's a lower part of myself and a higher part of myself. And true strength comes through self-discipline. And that is truly a strong person, one who is able to conquer themselves, not conquer others.
Wow. Well, what's so powerful about what you're sharing here is we're talking about that often people push other people down to try to feel better about themselves, but strength is self-discipline. I'm thinking there's been this whole self-esteem movement, which is really trying to instill that we need to feel good about ourselves. And how do you instill self-esteem in your children? And I think it's really been misplaced because it's always about focusing on myself, myself feeling good. Whereas true self-esteem is when we have inner strength. How do we feel good about ourselves? Not just from being told you're good, you're wonderful, you're great, It's having a sense of inner strength. But as you're saying, how do we get that inner strength? That inner strength, that real self-worth comes from discipline, from feeling like I have a sense of control over my reflexes, it's not that I'm reacting to life, but that I'm making able to choose what I want in my life.
Right. We're not animals. We don't simply respond based on how we feel, but we take a moment, we pause, and we think, and then we act. And that is how a person is strong. So, you know, so what starts, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Am I strong and therefore I operate in a self-disciplined way, or am I self-disciplined and that leads to strength? You know what? It's a circle. You know, some people, they are strong and for that reason they're self-disciplined. Some people, they really, really need to work on their self-discipline in order to draw out of themselves their inner strength.
But ultimately, recognizing that when we have self-discipline, that is when we have a true inner sense of strength and feeling good about ourselves. That recognition is what's so important, because so many times we're looking for those quick fixes, what feels good right now. And as we know, self-discipline is a process. It's something that you have to have the ability to wait out. It's not necessarily, self-discipline often doesn't feel good in the moment. It's like when I have that self-discipline not to eat that cake, I don't feel good right now because I wanted that cake. This is obviously a very simple example, but a very practical one. But in the long term, I will feel much better about myself that I had the strength not to eat it. When I decided I really shouldn't, I'm on this diet. So again, as you said, that principle at the beginning, which is inner strength, also comes from the ability to recognize this is a long-term vision that I have that I'm building up towards, as opposed to the need to feel instant gratification, feeling good about myself immediately.
Right. Well, you know, the recipe is to identify what seems to be quick and easy versus that which is difficult yet more long-lasting. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, are we taking the easy way out or the real way in?
When you're talking about Hergalim habits, in certain ways, habits can sometimes take us away from really developing inner strength and get into bad habits. On the other hand, developing good habits can help us develop self-discipline, because I'm thinking there are so many aspects of a Torah lifestyle that very much is about setting a certain sense of self-discipline, but it's the self-discipline that actually creates true freedom and true, really an ability to really be ourselves, because to some degree, in certain ways, when we limit ourselves, the limiting is actually enabling us to expand ourselves and really being more of who I can be. Because if I don't put any limits on my life whatsoever, I will self-destruct.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what's so interesting about Judaism. Very often people say, well, why would I want to live a life that has so much restriction? In their minds, restriction and discipline weakens me, when a strong person will do what they want, where they want, how they want, with who they want. We're really strong. Rabbi Judaism says that true strength is an inner strength whereby a person doesn't do what feels good, but what is right.
So that really should be the yardstick. And we talk about that even the higher self, there's the head and the heart. So many times there's that aspect, I'd say the head is above the heart, because the heart may, the emotions or feelings may tell us, I feel like doing something. But then we have to ask ourselves this question of, this is what I feel like doing, but is this the right thing for me to be doing right now? And that's a totally different yardstick in which we're making decisions in our life at any given moment.
Well, that's why we, I think we once talked about how Viktor Frankl spoke about the unique opportunity for a person to take that pause of response. There's the event, and then there's the response, and then there's that pause where choice happens, you know, and in the event, am I reacting or am I responding? Reacting is my reflex. Responding is my choice.
And this is really something sometimes, I mean, it's better if we can recognize, we can almost expand that space between the event and the response where we have to make this choice to almost be able to really think it through. But I think so many times that space is so small that before we realize we've either reacted or responded. But sometimes even after the fact, it can be helpful to look back and say, wait a minute, this situation happened. Did I react or respond? And if I did react, then to really think about, well, how would this have played out differently had I responded instead of reacted?
Yeah, well, that's why it's good to be in constant dialogue with God. Because I've experienced in my own life, when in doubt, turn to Hashem, turn to God, and ask for clarity, you know, and that just opening oneself up, surrendering to a power much greater than myself, actually helps me get beyond my little self and feel connected to a much greater self. And so, so sometimes that surrendering to a greater self is the path to empowerment.
And it really makes sense with what we've been saying so far, that there's so many aspects of it. In the moment, it looks like I'm giving something up, but I'm gaining so much more. So by giving up my own, you know, decision-making process or thought process, or giving up my independence and trying to do this all on my own, but turning to God and saying, God, I need your help here, we will come out so much stronger and so much greater for recognizing that ultimately we do need God's help in all these matters.
Yeah.
So it really continues on with this formula that we've had here, that we have to recognize that so often what looks like it's, you know, a good thing for us within the first moment is actually not necessarily, it's the opposite is true. Again, like it feels like we can be giving ourselves up in certain ways, but ultimately the more we give up, the greater more we gain.
Right. And it's important also to have a Rebbe, to have a teacher, you know, that we can turn to and get advice. It's very hard for us to know what is really going on because we only have one limited way of seeing it. But if we turn to someone else and share with them the situation, they might give us a different angle on the whole story.
And so ultimately, we really have to recognize that strength, there's so many ways we can tap into making ourselves stronger. Sometimes we need to go outside of ourselves, you're saying, to a teacher, to a Rebbe. And sometimes it's the part of us that it's almost, again, turning to God. It's sometimes giving up on what I want right now, but recognizing that this is what's right. This is what I need to do. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.